It was probably the worst job in the Army. During the dark and depressing days of the Vietnam War, a man by the name of Phil Caputo had the unenviable task of having to identify and make sure that the body was correct with the name of those who had been killed in action in Vietnam before they were shipped back to America. It was such a depressing job that Phil would later say in one of his memoirs that I could actually look into the face of an individual and tell what they would look like if they were dead. You and I have another task that is the exact opposite of Phil. We can look into the eyes of those who are spiritually dead and see what they would look like if they were filled with the living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that without Christ that we're all spiritually dead. And yet we know today we bring a message, not just myself, but the entire Christian community. We bring a message that is a message filled with life and filled with hope. It is the living hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For many people, Easter is just another day of the year. For some, they might even make fun of it as a ghost story or something that was a mythological understanding. For others, it's all about the goodies of Bugs Bunny and rabbits and Easter eggs and things like that. But for you and I, it is a very unique and very special time of years. Because for believers in Jesus Christ, Easter is the great celebration of the resurrection from the dead of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It means that the promise of life after death is just something that's not pie in the sky, but it is something that is based in the historical fact of the resurrection of Christ. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. If you don't happen to have your Bible with you this morning, there should be one right in front of you in the pew rack, and you can take and follow along with me. 1 Peter chapter 1. Resurrection Sunday, which is today, is the single most important day in the history of the world. Not just for Americans, not just during this time frame. I'm talking about the single most important day in the history of the world. It is the supreme miracle of Christianity. It's at the very heart of our faith. If it never happened, then Christianity is simply a myth, and it's based on things which were not vaporous and things which were not true. Millions of people have been deceived, but if it did happen, it authenticates what Jesus said and what he did and what he promised. It is so important that, as a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians 15:17, the Apostle Paul says, if Christ has not been risen, your faith is worthless. If Christ has not been risen, then the facts that we are sharing with you today, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of eternal life, is simply a myth. The resurrection is the very basis of our faith in Christ. The words that were first spoken that day, he is not here, he is risen, have literally changed the lives of millions and millions of people down through the years. Let's see how Peter records the story. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Earlier today, they sang about that glorious day. That's the reference here. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. At the time of this writing, Peter was an older man. He was in the last days of his life. And having been through the wars of life, both spiritual and physical wars, those conflicts against the Romans and others, he had come to understand that there are some things that just simply aren't worth it. There are some things that are just temporary and forget about it. They're not worth arguing about. But he also came to the understanding that there are some things that are literally worth dying for. Wisdom is the ability to understand which of those goes in which categories. Which of those are simply temporary things, and even though you may or may not like them at the moment, they're gone. But then there are other things which are so important and so critical and so necessary and essential for a successful life that you say, this is something that I'm going to put a stake down and I'm going to believe in it because it is literally life and death. Christians, we have a living hope because of the resurrection of Christ, it says in 1 Peter 1. It is not a dead hope. A living hope is one that continues to grow as we get older, as we attain more wisdom, as we get more understanding of who God is. A living hope is one that is not just a cheery optimism, but it is a hope that is based upon the fact of the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. A living hope grows stronger with time. A living hope helps us to understand that the promises that God has made to us are real, and even though they may not be realized yet, they are still there for us in the future. There is a lot of things that I will never hear people say to me. I will never hear Joe Madden come to me and say, Tom, would you like to play shortstop for us next week? I'm just not going to hear that. I will never hear Carol come to me and say, my wife Carol, say to me, you know, Tom, you're looking kind of thin lately. I think you need to put on a few pounds. I'll never have a stranger stop me and say, aren't you Brad Pitt? And here's another thing I will never hear. I will never hear God say to me, Tom, there's no hope for you. Roy, he will never, ever say to you, Roy, there's no hope for you. Amanda, he will never, ever say to you, there's no hope for you. Because there is always the living hope of the resurrection. He has said, I am extending to you this marvelous, magnificent hope. Because of my resurrection, you too can be resurrected because of your faith and belief in Christ. Our very hope for the future is rooted in this resurrection story. In fact, it's one of the reasons that Christians change the main day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. Saturday represented the Old Testament. It represented the law. It represented the sacrificial system. But it says on the first day of the week, Jesus resurrected. It was an event that so changed the life of not only the disciples and the first century, it enabled them to say, this is a day that we're going to make the first day of the week as our primary worship experience because God says that he wants us to give him the first of everything. And therefore, we're going to give him the first day of the week as a special day that we set aside to worship him. And even though today is a general resurrection story day, Resurrection Sunday, every single Sunday is a mini story about Christ and his resurrection. Every single first day of the week is the celebration of what happened that day. Now, do you have hope today? Do you have the living hope of the resurrection within you? Over the years, life has a way of grinding us down, squeezing the hope out of us. And some of you here today have gone through a tough year. I know that. I've been with you through some of those times. Some of you, even right now, on April 24th, are facing some really tough issues in your life. Some of you might be feeling the weight of some decisions that you've made that weren't good decisions. Some of you may have been slapped around by the waves of broken dreams. You thought this was going to happen, and it didn't. Some of you may be a wife that's been traded in for a younger model, or a husband that's been betrayed by a wife that you trusted. Some of you are parents who have seen your children make some decisions that have been bad choices. Some of you have crossed a line. You thought, I would never, ever cross that line, but you did. Some of you have made a recent trip to the cemetery where you've prematurely said goodbye to a loved one, to a friend, to a person who was significant and meaningful in your life. Tough issues. Some of you have had a boss say to you this last year, I'm sorry, we just don't need you anymore. And when we go through those tough issues of life, we are tempted to raise the white flag and give up and surrender and say it's hopeless. Well, if you can relate to any of those feelings, this message of the resurrection is for you because it is a message of hope. Have you ever felt rejected? It hurts, doesn't it? Have you ever felt rejected by someone or something? Maybe because of the color of your skin. Maybe because of the appearance of your body or the lack of education or a physical or mental handicap. Or maybe just for no reason at all, you just have felt rejected. And it stings and it hurts and you don't know what to do. And sometimes we lash out at other people because we're hurting inside. Sometimes we withdraw. Sometimes we take up an addiction of some kind. I want you to know there's another way, another hope, a living hope, a new option for you. Turn your burdens over to Christ and let Him carry them for you and pick up the living hope of the resurrection. You see, Jesus can identify with you because He too was resurrected. Throughout the Old Testament, there is the story of a Messiah that is coming. And time after time, the people of that era, the Jewish people, were told, there's going to be a Messiah. He's going to save you. He's going to be the conqueror, the king for you. And so when Jesus came, and after He took the book of Isaiah, and He said, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing, they said, no, it hasn't. We don't believe you. What? I'm the Messiah who has come. No, you're not. Even His own brothers didn't believe Him until after the resurrection. Even His disciples, one blatantly denied Him and betrayed Him. The others all left Him in His most crucial hour. Even God the Father, for a brief moment in time, had to turn away as He received the sin of mankind into Himself. Jesus knew the rejection and pain that you may be feeling today over the events that have happened in your life. But the good news is this, is that through His victory over sin and the grave, Jesus says, I want to encourage you with the living hope of the resurrection. I want to help you overcome those scars of your past, those situations that have happened in your life that have brought heartache into you. I want to let you know that there is forgiveness for you. I want to help you overcome the problems of today. Yeah, I know as you look at the things that are looking at you're facing today, you may say, wow, there's no way I can get through this. I want to walk with you. I want to be there for you. I want to give you my Holy Spirit that He can lead you and guide you into truth. I want to help you overcome the fear of the future, that when you finally draw that last breath and you move into eternity, I will be waiting there to receive you, that where I am, there you may be also, because I want to give you the living hope of the resurrection of Christ. Because just as I was resurrected from the dead, those who believe in me, you too shall be resurrected. I'm going to tell you, that's good news. The cross was a difficult assignment for Jesus. It wasn't, as we sometimes portray, just a brief moment and no big deal. He suffered as no one else has ever suffered. The agony of an innocent person dying is difficult and overwhelming. How could He stand it? The humiliation of being rejected, the agony of the torture of the cross, the spitting into His face, the whip, the crown of thorns, the suffocation of crucifixion. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2, he gives us a verse that tells us about the living hope of the resurrection. It says this, "Fixing our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand on the Father of the throne of God." Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured because he knew it was only temporary. We can endure any hardship that we face in life without giving up hope because we know it is only temporary. And once we get through the pain and the agony and the grief, Psalm says that grief may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy because of the living hope of the resurrection. Because God has promised us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He has promised forgiveness for our past. He has promised us comfort for today. And he has promised us the living hope of the resurrection for tomorrow. There's times when all we can do is hold on. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Disney and ridden Space Mountain. As you get into that car, you recognize that they put this apparatus over your shoulders, and you know this is not going to be an easy ride. And then you are plunged into near darkness, and you can't see anything. And as you are hurtling along beside somebody that you've never seen before in your life, operated by some guy who's running on minimum wage, you're flying through this situation, going left and right and up and down, and you're literally terrified as what's going to happen next at breakneck speed. But you know what happens when you get out? Everybody's smiling. What? You've just gone through this harrowing experience, and everybody says, "Let's do that again. That was fun." You know, life is sometimes like that. It looks near black at times. There's hairpin turns. There's dips that you didn't expect. There's sudden stops and starts. But when we put our trust in God, when we say, "I am going to believe in the hope of the resurrection," at the end, we got a big smile on our face. Maybe you're one of the fortunate few who hasn't gone through tough issues and deep waters. Maybe life is very good for you, and you say, "Why should I believe in the living hope of the resurrection of Jesus? Why do I need that hope?" Well, the reason is because you're going to die one day. And when you die, you're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, "Why should I let you into my kingdom? How can I know for certain that I'm going to be accepted by Jesus the Christ, the living hope of the resurrection?" You know, there were three men, that were talking one day about their eventual death. And they began to discuss as to what they would like for people to say when they filed by in their casket. And the first individual, being a businessman, said, "I want when people file by my casket for them to say, 'Wow, he was a great businessman. He was so smart. Look at all of the wealth that he accumulated. Look at what he did with the abilities that he gave.'" The second man, who was a strong family man and not so business-oriented, said, "I would like for them to file by my casket and say, 'Wow, wasn't he a great father? Wasn't he a great husband to his wife? Didn't he take care of his family? Wasn't he an individual that we could model our life after?'" The third man said, "When I see them file by my casket, what I would really like for them to say is this: 'Hey, look, he's moving.'" You see, the Bible tells us that all of us are going to die. And it's almost always premature. We always want more time. But when we die and when we face Christ, what are we going to say? Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, and listen to this, and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So what we have to do is confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, not just overall. He's my personal Lord. And when we come to him and when we confess that he is our Lord, then we have to believe his story, or we have to believe the method by which we have eternal life. And the method by which we have eternal life, or the story that we believe, is the faith that we have, is centered in this. Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He received the sins of me into himself. But he not only stayed on the cross and was buried, but he rose again to show me newness of life. That's the living hope of the resurrection. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just want to pray for every individual in this congregation today. We know we have come today filled with joy and hope and love and excitement over the fact that you have been risen, that you're no longer in the grave. And Lord, I want to pray right now, if there are those individuals who are struggling, those individuals who are having a tough time, I want you just to silently repeat after me as I give this prayer to the Lord. Dear God, this has been a tough year for me. At times I've lost hope. I've been discouraged and despondent. Renew within me the joy of my salvation. Renew within me the living hope of the resurrection of Christ. And for those of you who have never known Christ, this is a time when you can just silently repeat after me. Dear God, my Father, I realize that I need you. I need your forgiveness for my past. I need your comfort for my present. And I need you to help me overcome the fear of the future. And Father, I just want to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I want to believe in that living hope of the resurrection, because you have said that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that you have been raised from the dead, we'll be saved. And Father, that is our real goal, to come into a relationship with you through Jesus. For it is in your name we pray. Amen.